Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Kopiranna Balaba Girivara Dhari Kopiranna Balaba Girivara Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Banachari Yamuna Tira Banachari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Banachari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Om Vishnu Parabrahma Sapari Vraja Kacharya Asatara Sata Sisi Mati Dhani Swami Divine Grace Asi Bhaktivinoda Swamara Srila Prabhupada Ki Garantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Nitai Gaur Premanandi Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, 13th chapter, Dhritarashtra quits home, text number 18.
Vidurastada vipretya
Dhritarashtram abhashata Rajan nirgam yatam shigram Pashyedam bhayam agatam Vidurastada vipritya Dhritarashtram abhashata Rajan nirgam yatam shigram Pashyedam bhayam agatam Vidurastada vipritya Dhritarashtram Abhashata Rajan Nirgamyatam Shigram Pashyeram Bhayam Agatam. Pashyeram Bhayam Agatam. Vidurah, Mahatma Vidura, Tat, that, Avipritya, knowing it well, Dhritarashtram, unto Dhritarashtra, Abhashata, said, Rajan, O King, Nirgamyatam, please get out immediately. Shigram, without the least delay. Pashya, just see. Idam, this. Bhayam, fear. Agatam, already arrived. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, Kija. Maharaj Vidura knew all this, and therefore he addressed Dhritarashtra saying, My dear king, please get out of here immediately. Do not delay. Just see how fear has overtaken you. Purport. Cruel death cares for none, be he Dhritarashtra or even Maharaj Yudhisthira. Therefore, spiritual instruction, as was given to old Dhritarashtra, was equally applicable to younger Maharaj Yudhisthira. As a matter of fact, everyone in the royal palace, including the king and his brothers and mother, was raptly attending the lectures. But it was known to Vidura that his instructions were especially meant for Dhritarashtra, who was too materialistic. The word Rajan is especially addressed to Dhritarashtra significantly. Dhritarashtra was the eldest son of his father, and therefore, according to the law, he was to be installed on the throne of Hastinapur. But because he was blind from birth, he was disqualified from his rightful claim. But he could not forget the bereavement, and his disappointment was somewhat compensated after the death of Pandu, his younger brother. His younger brother left behind him some minor children, and Dhritarashtra became the natural guardian of them. But at heart, he wanted to become the factual king and hand the kingdom over to his own sons, headed by Duryodhana. With all these imperial ambitions, Dhritarashtra wanted to become a king, and he contrived all sorts of intrigues in consultation with his brother-in-law, Shakuni. But everything failed by the will of the Lord, and at the last stage, even after losing everything, men and money, he wanted to remain as king, being the eldest uncle of Maharaj Yudhisthira. Maharaj Yudhisthira, as a matter of duty, maintained Dhritarashtra in royal honor, and Dhritarashtra was happily passing away his numbered days in the illusion of being a king, or the royal uncle of King Yudhisthira. Vidura, as a saint and as the duty-bound, affectionate youngest brother of Dhritarashtra, wanted to awaken Dhritarashtra from his slumber of disease and old age. Vidura therefore sarcastically addressed Dhritarashtra as the king, which he was actually not. Everyone is the servant of eternal time, and therefore no one can be king in this material world. King means the person who can order. The celebrated English king wanted to order time and tide, but the time and tide refused to obey his order. Therefore, one is a false king in the material world. And Dhritarashtra was particularly reminded of this false position and of the factual fearful happenings which had already approached him at that time. Vidura asked him to get out immediately if he wanted to be saved from the fearful situation, which was approaching him fast. He did not ask Maharaj Yudhisthira in that way because he knew that a king like Maharaj Yudhisthira is aware of all the fearful situations of this flimsy world and would take care of himself in due course, even though Vidura might not be present at that time. Vidurastada vipretya dhritarastram abhashata rajan nirgamyatam shigram pashedam bhayam agatam. Maharaj Vidura knew all this, and therefore he addressed Dhritarashtra, saying, "My dear king, please get out of here immediately. Do not delay. Just see how fear has overtaken you." Om Agyanatimarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripadam Aham Vande Sri Guru Dinataranam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanya Ishwaram Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kripta Sindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. The blessings of all the Vaishnavas. There's pin drop silence in the palace. Vidura had been away for 20 years on pilgrimage. And these are the first words that he's speaking, addressing his older brother, his eldest brother, Dhritarashtra. He came back because of his great affection, compassion, and pity upon his older brother, who was stuck in a very dangerous position. His position was dangerous because he was blind both materially and spiritually. In a purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that Dhritarashtra was very ambitious and he had great aspirations to occupy the throne. Even though being unqualified, being blind, when his younger brother Pandu died, he helped to raise the Pandavas. At the same time, he always had that great desire and longing. So he occupied the throne and he had the plan to pass it on to his sons, headed by Duryodhana.
And that's why he contrived, he instigated the plot in many different ways. Mahabharata is narrating all these stories, how he wanted to execute his plan. But as Srila Prabhupada goes on to explain, his plan was foiled. It was spoiled by the will of the Lord. Krishna had a different plan. He wanted the Pandavas to be ruling the world. And thus Dhritarashtra's plan failed. All his men, all his money, all his aspirations were gone. Everything was destroyed. But he had not given up. Hope dies last. You ever heard that one? Hope against hope. Like the person, he's already squandered his life, squandered his wealth, but still there's some hope, some figment of imagination. Something is there in the mind that maybe someday it's going to happen. So he, Dhritarashtra, sat in the palace and was still receiving honor and respect and worship, even though everything had failed. Everything had blew up in his face, but still he was there and he could not get out of this situation. So Vidura felt great compassion for him. He came back to extricate his older brother from this dangerous position. Bhayam dutiya biniveshita syad isha dapitasya vipariyo smriti tanmayatam buddhabhaje tvam. Last line. Yeah, well, what comes before Guru Devatatma? That's the word that we're missing. You're supposed to look that up. That's the missing link. Tanmayato Buddha Abhaje Tvam, and then Guru Devatatma, one word missing. So, it's still early in the day, but Pushkar Prabhu will help. Thank you. So, fear arises. When does fear arise? Isha de paitasya vipariyo smritihi. When we're forgetful of Isha, of Krishna, of the Lord, then we become fearful. So, abhudatam guru devatattva. So, and when we surrender to Guru, to the spiritual master, then our proper consciousness becomes reinforced. We be reminded of Krishna's omnipresence and omnipotence, and thus there is no fear. Krishna Suri Sama, Maya Haya Andhakara, Yan Krishna Tan Maya Maya Dikara. Wherever Krishna or wherever the sun is, there is no darkness, there is no ignorance. Have you ever been fearful in your life? It's kind of a rhetorical question. Many times, huh? Bhaktyaikaye sham guru deva tatma. Thank you. So, and a fear comes because we're forgetful of the Lord. We're forgetful of Krishna. Of course, there are little fears like spiders and where's my phone or where's my key. To greater fears of what if the IRS comes knocking on my door or somebody asks you, what is the purpose of your visit to the United States? And you go like, and then he says, okay, line number three. You go down that chute, you know? So, and then there's the bigger fears. What if I'm a failure? What if I just fail in life? What if I miss an exam or, you know? And it seems to be terrible. So this section in Mahabharata is known as Vidura Niti. It is the instructions of Vidura. It's very remarkable, beautiful, beautiful instructions. And they're narrated in the Bhagavatam in a very concise, nutshell version. We just get the highlights here. We just get the high points. And there's one sutra that's stuck in my mind, and you can frame that and put it on the wall, or you can get a tattoo, however you like, or make a t-shirt of it. Vidura says, highly regard loss, which brings great gain. Highly regard loss, which brings great gain. So sometimes we lose something, and it's seemingly terrible. It's seemingly a tragedy or catastrophe. But a little later, we are to realize that actually it was a blessing. Like that king who lost one digit while hunting, and then later on it saved his life. You all know the story. So in a similar way, all of us, we've lost certain things along our trail, along our passage through this world, and we thought it was terrible. But in retrospect, we recognize that it was actually Krishna's blessing. It was actually Krishna's mercy. So what is the greatest fear in this world? Of course, people say it's public speaking. Yeah? Or it's death. Or it's rebirth, having to come back into the material world. So I'm on a little tour of appreciation, to appreciate devotees, because I realize that people are moving on fast, and it's just very painful if we don't appreciate them while they're here, because it's just like a great, great deficiency. And so I set out on this trail. I started up in Sacramento, went down to San Diego, and over to Miami, and now I'm here. So, and I met many devotees along the trail, and I would just like to narrate one incident, because I have a friend who, early on, decades ago, we were very close, but the last few times that we met, I didn't feel the love, as they say. It was quite contrary, the experience. And I felt like I cannot really live with myself. I don't like that, because what if he passes on or I pass on, and I feel there's some tension between us? And I know that because of that tension, because of that feeling of inadequacy, maybe I'll have to come back. Because if we have homework, if we have pending issues, or pending work that we have not resolved, most likely we have to come back to either collect or pay our dues. It's a scary thought, isn't it? Brahmatirthabhu was telling me that he was doing a mediation between two Punjabis. And as he was going from the first floor to the third floor of the building, talking to the different lawyers and the men to try to solve that dispute, he saw that it was going nowhere. So at some point, he asked if he could have a word with the two gentlemen. Now, these two men had not spoken to each other for more than a decade. Mr. Singh versus Mr. Singh. So, they were Punjabis, so they were devotees of, you know, in their tradition. So, and even though it was a frightening thing, they finally agreed, and I got them together in a room, and he told them that if you two guys don't settle, you both have to take birth again in order to get this thing done. If you want to do that. And because they knew the scripture, and they knew their philosophy, he said, you guys do whatever you want to do, but I tell you one thing. If you don't settle, you come back again to finish this business. And you know, when you do what you're supposed to be doing, Krishna gives you a little potency there in those few words. And it touched their hearts, and they got up and they embraced each other. And they came out holding hands, and the lawyers was like, what? And they said, business over. Case over. It's done. And so, I went there and I appreciated my friend. And I said, I wanted to apologize to you because most likely I've offended you. Because the last few times we were together, I really didn't feel that we had a loving exchange. And maybe because I said something or did something that upset you. So I wanted to come and show you my appreciation and my apologies. And he paused for a second, and then he looked at me and said, Navina, I have a very good memory. If you would have said or done something, I would remember it. But there's nothing there. Which proves to me that it is I who offended you because of the way that you're feeling. So I like to apologize and beg for forgiveness. So we both paid our respects and we embraced, and I said, most likely we're just being ourselves, you know, our expedient selves, not our better selves. And That night he invited me to give the Bhagavad Gita class together with him, and we actually sat next to each other and shared the mic, which was something that I considered to be quite a privilege and quite an honor, because some people are quite possessive of the mic and they don't want to share it. And we were actually having a back and forth. And for his students, it was quite an experience to see that it's not just my teacher, but my teacher also has friends, you know. It's kind of an epiphany when you realize that it's not just about your guru, but your guru also has friends and brothers, and, you know, there's more than just one person there. So I cannot afford to have ill feelings, animosity, or even that woey, that weirdness towards any devotee, because that will undermine my credibility, that will undermine my potency, my ability to touch people's hearts and to have impact in their lives. So I could call this tour also the finishing unfinished business tour, or the tying up loose ends, but appreciation tour sounds better. Would you agree? It sounds better. So, and what is the goal? Yes, it is to eradicate hypocrisy, self-righteousness, and pretension from my own heart. And that is best achieved while doing the process of Harinam Sankirtan, which is the process to purify the heart. I have a doubt. Actually, I have many doubts, because the doubt is the sign of intelligence, right? So if you have many doubts, you must be very intelligent.
No happiness in this world, the next.
Yes, something like that. So when I read Chaitanya Bhagavat, the Tapan Mishra was a learned scholar, right? He knew the philosophy, but he did not know the goal of life nor the means how to attain it. Have you ever wondered about that one? How can you be a scholar and educated and not know the goal of life or the means how to attain it? You ever wondered about that? Or is it just me? So, in the purport, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives the explanation why that is so. He said that he was chanting his Krishna mantra silently, just for himself. He was not engaging in sankirtan. He did not meet with others and glorify Krishna publicly and spread the glories of the holy name. And that's why he did not know the goal of life nor the means how to attain it. Which shows to all of us that we might be chanting our mantra, we might be having our guru or our Ishtadev, but if we're not engaging in sankirtan, we're not getting out of our own little, you know, space and collaborating with others, we might still miss the boat. It's like in purport to 10:10, Tesham Satata Yuktanam Bhajatam Pratipurvakam Dadami Buri Yogam Tam Yenamam Upayanti Te, that beautiful verse from Bhagavad Gita. In the last paragraph, Srila Prabhupada says, you might be in a spiritual institution, have a guru, but you might still not get it. But if you're serious and sincere and you offer your work, whatever that work may be, with love, with devotion to Krishna, then the Lord in your heart will bridge that gap and will give you what you need in order to achieve that devotion. So that is the power, that is the potency of this process, of this movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Vidura, he was very compassionate. He was very merciful. He was on pilgrimage. He visited holy places, saintly persons. He heard from great exalted personalities, yet he came back to the palace. Not to plead his own case, not to collect his dues, but just to benefit Dhritarashtra. And Prabhupada says here in the purport that the whole palace was very anxious to hear from Vidura. Everybody was in rapt attention. They were all very, very eager to hear from him. Why? Because he had great realization. So I tell people always that if you want transformation, it only comes through realization. And realization comes through application. Otherwise, it all just stays information. Now you have to talk in riddles nowadays, because if you don't talk in riddles, you lose people's attention. You have to catch their mind. meditation or self-realization. So he was putting things very straightforward here. He addresses him as my dear king. As Prabhupada says, this is sarcastic. He's using sarcasm. He's actually speaking very pointed words. You need a pointed object in order to extricate somebody from a situation. Right? You need some tools. But because he was very pure and very empowered, he could do that. So when we use sharp objects, instruments, or words, you have to be very expert. You have to be diligent not to cause harm, not operation successful and the patient is dead. Have you ever used pointed words and it backfired, blew up in your face? So you got to make sure that the underlying current is compassion. It's not just, I want to assert my smartness or my superiority. A couple of days ago, we were down on Miami Beach, on South Beach, which is quite an interesting place. It's like a zoo. There's all kinds of creatures roaming around. And people are trying to pull the whole world through the nine gates of the senses. And there was two gentlemen that were well-dressed and well-tanned, and they had nice everything. So I walked up to them, and they kind of looking at me, so what do you want, you know? And I told them, especially one who looked like he was a little proud, and I told him, it's hard to be humble when you're 6'3" and 53 years old. And the guy's jaw dropped, you know? He was like, dude, how did you know? How did you know? How did you recognize? I told him, because I'm 6'3" and I'm 53. And he was like, so am I. So we gave each other a hug, and he ceremoniously handed over the $20 and took his book. So the message was received. I was in Tucson, Arizona, at the world's biggest gem and mineral fair, and just going around, and it was such a breeze, because the devotees have been distributing prasadam to all these vendors, and they've done such a great job. Yeah, yeah. A little late and a little smaller, but they still had it. So they've been going around giving plates of prasadam to all the vendors for nominal donations, and the people were so happy, because they're sitting there 12 hours in their motel rooms or in their stalls. They can't go anywhere. They have to wash their stuff. And somebody comes and brings you, you know, like home-cooked meal. And so I just walked up to the vendors and said, how'd you like our food? And they're like, okay, more. So there was one vendor, he actually had three booths in different places, quite established, one of the biggest vendors, a Russian guy. And I showed him the books, and he looked at them, he said, ah, Veda, oh, Bhagavad Gita, but he was not that, didn't show that much interest. You know, they're traders, they're vendors, they're in that Vaishya mode. So I said, yeah, you keep it, give whatever you feel is adequate. And he went back, and he came back, and he held his hands out like this, with his fist closed. And he said, how much is in my hands? What is in my hands? And I looked him straight in the eye, and I said, it's $108. The same spirit that's in your heart is also in my heart. And if you read these books, you learn how to connect to that spirit, and you will know whatever is there to know. So nothing had to be said anymore. The message was received. And he was very happy. So he gave me the $108. Yeah. So you all had that experience in your own life that if you put yourself out there, Krishna tells you what you need to know. And sometimes he makes you forget what you thought you knew. Huh? Like, you know, your PIN code or your zip code or or a telephone number. And I went around, and some of the smaller vendors are like motel rooms, literally. They just put a motel room into a showroom. And so he put a sign up on the first floor. And when he saw me, he said, Krishna is such a rascal. He's such a trickster. He had been a devotee of RVC for 5 years doing book distribution. Shamananda is his name. And he said, wherever I go, Krishna shows up without fail. And he tracks me down. I can go wherever I want. Krishna is already there and says, hi, hello, I'm already here. Okay. So I went there, I gave him a big hug, you know, gave him prasada. Then I asked him, do you have a Bhagavad Gita? And he said, no, I don't have a Bhagavad Gita. So voila, here are your books. You know, I gave him a stack of books. And as he went for the donation, I said, you know, 180 is auspicious. You remember that, right? So he brought me the $108. I mean, they have wads of cash. And I said, Krishna has given you everything. So, and he said, yes, it's true. It's true. So Krishna has given us everything. Now the question is, are we doing our homework? Or are we fearful that we might have to come again? Because we still have issues. We must still be opinionated and very much invested in our idea, in our views, in our ways. And all of that that is superfluous has to go. It has to go. Otherwise, it will hold us back on our journey. On South Beach, again, there was a young, not young, like middle-aged couple, and they also looked quite spiffy. And I went up to them, and they seemed pretty happy and absorbed in themselves. And so I just told them that, showed them the books and said, this is very good to develop humility. And the man, he said, how'd you know this is my problem? How did you know this is my issue? You know, how did you know? And I said, I'm just talking about myself. You know, I'm not talking about you. And so, sarcasm can be used in service. But we have to make sure that it's productive, that the person can actually appreciate it. Oftentimes I've seen, especially in dealing with seniors, that they respond better to pranams and pranami, to respect and to offerings, to gifts. But if you are in a peer situation or in a teaching situation, then you may also use strong words sometimes. But we ought to make sure that the underlying current is compassion and it is benevolence and not malice or envy. Otherwise, it will be counterproductive. So, here, we can see how Yudhisthira was not, he was present and he was part of the audience, but Vidura directed his talk to Dhritarashtra because he knew that Yudhisthira would do his own homework in due course of time. He would go on the journey and not be attached, as we can see later on in the following chapters to come. But Dhritarashtra needed this strong admonishment, this tough love, in order to move on. So he tells him very strongly, get out of here immediately, do not delay. This is a great sense of urgency. I'm sure you feel that great sense of urgency when you hear Prabhupada's words, when you hear him talk this philosophy. There's a great sense of urgency. Srila Prabhupada once mentioned, he said, I want to spread Krishna consciousness everywhere at once. That's a pretty big vision, right? Everywhere at once. So, and that plan includes all of us. That plan includes everybody. Because it's a big world out there. And there's a lot of people who have never heard of Krishna, believe it or not. There are a lot of people out there who have never heard of Krishna. And so, it is our privilege to try to help them to connect with Krishna, the Lord, who is helping everybody to overcome this fearful situation of this flimsy world. Flimsy means, you know, it's not substantial. It's something transient, something that won't last. Like you look at something on the internet and it looks really great and then you order it and you realize it's flimsy. Has this ever happened to you? or is it just me? Huh? Before I went on the journey, I ordered 2 water tanks, you know, for drinking water. And one of them turned out to be very solid and sturdy, and the other one turned out to be very flimsy. And it just nudged against something and it just fell to pieces. It just cracked and broke apart. So that's the nature of this world, that everything will eventually crumble. Even this body. Is a fallible fighting soldier. What's that verse? Are the fallible fighting soldiers? How does it start out with? Deha patra kalatradishu atma sanyesha satsuapi tesham pramatanidanam pashyanapina pashyati. The body, we think the body will give me comfort, it will give me pleasure. I was walking in the woods the other day and it had a big sign there, be careful of ticks. You think like, wow, how can this little creature cause me any discomfort, right? And I had a friend, he died because of a disease that he got from a tick. Strong guy. So, and sure enough, when I changed my dress afterwards, there was 3 of these little critters, you know, on my body, and I had to remove them. So, padam padam yagvi padam na tesham. Wherever you go, wherever you step, there is danger. There's always some danger in this world. We drive on the highway and we see a whole line car pile up and ambulances and police cars and, you know, fire brigade and whatnot. And we think, yeah, never gonna happen to me, right? Never. Statistically, never. But still, that danger is there and it can happen. So the body is disappointing us. Other people are disappointing us. Government may disappoint us. And ultimately, the whole material world, it just will be wrapped up. And again, absorbed into Mahavishnu. So let us finish up our business here in this world by assisting Srila Prabhupada in propagating the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in this way, wherever Krishna wants us to be, that is His plan, that is His prerogative. The devotee does not even have the plan, I don't want to come back into this world. The devotee just prays, Krishna, please engage me in your service. Whatever you want, let thy will be done. That is a devotee's prayer. So, going through the desert of California, and whatever else was there, it's a long road. It's a long road through the desert of the material world. But when we meet devotees and we are in these oases, these spiritual embassies where Krishna is very much present and vibrant, we become rejuvenated and rejoiced and we're recharged to go out again and fight against the soldiers of Maya, trying to give people this opportunity of Krishna consciousness. So thank you for keeping the oasis alive. I know it's a struggle. It's a lot of hard work. It takes a lot of watering. It takes a lot of weeding and teaching and cleaning and managing and education. But this is what's being described here. We're very joyous to see that there are children who grow up and they get Krishna conscious education. There are people who are training others to take their role, to take their position. People who are detached, who are not insecure, who are not territorial, who don't have an entitlement mentality, who are actually passing on this principle of Guru Parampara. This is what is being described here. How it's being done properly and what happens if it's not done properly. Then people become fearful and they want to hold on by any and every means. They say, I'm going to die with my boots on and you only going to get the keys from my cold hand. So either we die before dying by making ourselves obsolete by training and teaching others, and then we will be appreciated and respected and part of the legacy, part of the tradition. Or time and tide will just move us aside and will again get sucked into the earth. Now you might say, everybody gets sucked into the earth. What's the big deal about that? But if we do it voluntarily, then that is sweet surrender. And we actually get the credit for it. but if it's being taken away from us, then we can't say, oh, this was an offering. This was my donation. Like the guy with the popcorn that blew up into the wind, right? And he said, oh, I'm offering it, you know, to the Lord. It's not considered an offering if you lose something. Huh? But if we give it voluntarily, then it's called the preemptive strike. We've already surrendered. We've already sacrificed and given it to Krishna. And then whatever Krishna wants us to do or whatever role he wants us to play, we're happy to do that, to play that role. So Pankajangri Prabhu came to Switzerland and he spent almost a year there as a pujari, just doing simple pujari service, even though he was the head of the pujari department in Mayapur. But he came there on visa runs. He would go for himself and for his brother, because Chanivas Prabhu would never leave. So he went out to different places to renew their visas. And he got stuck and he just happily performed his service and was just a simple sadhu and always available to answer questions, very kind, very humorous, very joyous in his own Krishna consciousness. And I remember when we went to Mayapur with the Swiss groups of devotees, he would always host us and he had these big, 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 huge, massive plates of Mahaprasad. You remember those plates? They're like huge, these big trays with a mountain of Maha. And he would personally distribute that to all the devotees, groups of 20, 30 devotees, him and his brother sometimes, they would just serve us this Mahaprasad. And this was always the highlight. This was always like, wow, I'm going to go out for a year now and distribute books. And you know, this is something to look forward to. So Krishna's plan is mysterious. And as that devotee, Shyamananda, was saying, Krishna is a great trickster. He's a little bit of a rascal, a bit of a cheater. So he plays his games, he plays his tricks. But it is all for the good. It is all for the benefit of the living entity to bring his devotees closer to him. And that is Krishna's unlimited kindness, his unlimited mercy. So these are some reflections on this verse. We have a couple of minutes for questions and comments.
Isn't it sometimes that we may not offer something, but we may lose it in the sense that Krishna takes it away, but still Krishna can be pleased with our attitude and how, in seeing it his arrangement instead of being upset about it.
So, well, it depends on how we take it.
Right.
Whether we are upset about it and in spite we go and get it again and more, or we learn the lesson and we say, okay, Krishna took it away, so maybe it wasn't meant to be, and maybe he wants me to do something else or to live in a different way. So it all depends on how we take it. Then the benefit may or may not be there as much. Mm-hmm. But you can't call money that you lost because of some stupid, you know, investment or some, you know, some bad business. You can't call that your donation to Krishna. Mm-hmm. I had a person who just gave 25K away to some con artist. And then he said, Krishna made me do it, you know? And I said, no, it's your stupidity that made you do it. But sometimes the mind is quick to rationalize and to, you know, try to justify. Mm-hmm. So did I learn the lesson? or not? That's what we can see. Am I angry with Krishna? Or am I grateful that, oh, thank you, Krishna, you helped me to, you know, to overcome this obstacle or this situation? Thank you. Other points?
While you are talking about Tapan Mishra, I was reflecting Sanatana Goswami Pad. Similar, that he received Bhagavatam when, until Mahaprabhu took sannyas, they never met. But he was fully absorbed in Bhagavatam with the Pandit scholars. But when he met Lord Chaitanya, he says, I don't know who am I. And those famous verses. So then I was thinking, like, how is that possible that he knew everything about Bhagavatam and now he's asking, he doesn't know who he is. So then one comment I heard, but I wanted to hear also from your side. What do you think? Why Sanatana? I mean, when you study so much and you don't know who you are, why you are suffering, people call you a scholar, but and he is a scholar. Why would he submit to Lord Chaitanya like that?
So what was that comment that you heard?
What was that? I heard the comment, that's the nature of the humility.
Yes.
Even though he knew everything, but because he was humble, when the moment he met in a darbesh, means a mendicant looks, you know, he looks like a Muslim, beard, all this. Because Chandrasekhar said he didn't see anybody waiting outside except the mendicant.
Correct.
Yes, true humility. True humility. Even though he knew so many languages and he knew so much Shastra, but because he was a scholar, he was also humble because he knew his position. And so in front of a superior to show your scholarship or being erudite is not really appropriate. It's not really adequate. Like one time, I was in Berkeley at the GTU with one great scholar.
And GTU?
Graduate Theological Union. It's a seminary where they train priests of all different denominations. And one great scholar, and we're discussing about book changes, which is not the topic of this class. He asked me, and he was campaigning, and he was asking me about my opinion. And I said, me no speak English, me no speak Sanskrit, but me speak attitude. And I don't like the attitude in which you God brothers are discussing this topic. And I'm in no position to find fault with anybody, but I feel that there's some issue going on here, which is not about language or about presentation, but it's about relationship and about cooperation. And that's the real issue for me at hand. The other issue is a work in progress and it will hopefully be resolved or improved. But the issue that I feel that really needs addressing that is very pertinent, very urgent, is that when I see two brothers or uncles or whatever, two family members fight, it's painful. It doesn't instill faith. It doesn't instill trust in me. It's not inspiring me to go out there and sacrifice my life and go like, yeah, I'm going to go and, you know, campaign about this. I'm still going to do it, but, you know, this is just not so inspiring. So true humility means knowing our position and knowing how to navigate. So Vidura, he was happy playing his role, and that's why people took him seriously, and his words had impact. He had great weight and great impact. And not only did he give the instructions, he also walked with Dhritarashtra and Gandhari on Mahaprastham, and he went. and he ensured that his brother Dhritarashtra got a better destination. And then he himself left his body up there. He didn't go back to the palace, to, you know, second life. Yeah, he walked the walk.
But so I have speak. A question on that. Somehow or other my mind was a little disturbed. But Prabhupada writes in a purport, I think previous few purport, one of the paragraph was that King Vidura, Mahatma, Prabhupada always addresses a Mahatma, that he was a pure devotee, and I found even reference that that Jamaraj is Nitya Siddha, not just a demigod, he's a Nitya Siddha acting. But some or other, I'll say what Prabhupada said, I'm paraphrasing. Prabhupada said that he was not very happy with Dhritarashtra because ultimate destination, he could not make him pure devotee. He got liberation, but he did not. So then I was reflecting it. Okay, Prabhupada is stating this paragraph. Was it there is a point where you can press the bottom, like, come on, surrender. I'm not your younger brother. You know, I'm a servant, I'm a pure servant of Krishna. I mean, which he is. But, or was it like today you are saying that he's pushing the button of, you know, where the nerves is, Dhritarashtra, get out from here. These are like heavy. But why didn't he do also something to make Dhritarashtra pure devotee?
Because Dhritarashtra committed so many offenses against the Pandavas because of his behavior and his negligence and all the activities that he did. So in those purports in the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says that's why he could only become Dhira and not Narottama. He couldn't become topmost because he did a lot of offenses and he made a lot of mistakes. And so he still became Dhira, which means tolerant, and he still achieved liberation, but he could not achieve the highest. The highest perfection. Which shows to us also a very important point that you may be Dhira, you may be liberated, you may be scholarly, but if we still have some envy, some enmity, some issues with devotees, and we're implicated in all these fights and turf wars, then it will be very hard to achieve that highest stage. So if we're truly aspiring for that highest stage, then we ought to safeguard that we do not fall into this trap. So thank you for giving me the opportunity to visit and to get your association and hear from you. And please keep me in your prayers. I'm on the road to nowhere. And north. And then,
can I ask you one more question?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to mention the incident. It's happening now. Even a incident, something may have a truth, but still, some people cannot resist or tolerate enough, so they have to blow out for public's attention, so they feel some satisfaction in their heart. So they go on a Facebook, whatever, the media is there. When you see that person, what is the proper attitude you're going to maintain? Knowing that he is against, but he is mixing as one of us.
Respectful distance is always a good. Is always a
you
good.
Mean 6 feet? I mean, that's all.
Yeah, you keep your mask on and you pay your respectful pranams. It's up to us how we associate and how we interact. But we can stay respectful to everybody. We should be appreciative of everyone. Like one time there was a devotee and many people criticized him. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, all I know is that he's wearing clean dress every day. And he appreciated that, even though people saw so many other things, but he appreciated that. So if you're in a position to say or do something, then that's another thing. But if you're not, then best to just not engage, and just because otherwise you may make it worse. Like if there is a fight, sometimes you go out on books and you see two people are fighting. Sometimes it's a couple, they're having an argument. Huh? And then you jump into a domestic dispute, you know. It's lesson number one, you know. But if you have the art, like I get in there and I say, oh, you know, the opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference. So you guys are fighting, so that means there's still something there. So there is still hope here, you know. I still feel the love. It's good to see that you guys are still fighting. Huh? And then they usually start smiling and they lighten up, you know, and you can deal with them. But if you're not expert, it can become counterproductive and it can backfire. As we have experienced, speaking for myself, so usually always better to just stay aloof, unless it is your service. Thank you for your attention. Yes, Adhikarta Prabhu has got the last word.
As long as your health permits you to. Are you planning on distributing books as long as you can, as long as your health permits you to?
That's what we're here for.
So is it your favorite service? You love it?
It works.
You feel the bliss when you go out?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I want to die out there. Divyanga, it's the same.
I mean, we all tried many different things, but when you can actually see Krishna's miracle, Krishna's magic,
yeah,
firsthand, and you see that transformation in people, it is very, it's very, makes your heart feel very full.
It does.
And then even those 2 hours drive, going to St. Augustine and 2 hours back,
it's
you know,
worth
and
it.
The parking, and the this, and the that, and the weather, and the cops, and blah, blah. It all becomes like, you know, negligible. Because you know, Prabhupada wanted this, he made it very clear. But then we also need communities where these people can come and they can learn, they
yeah.
can apply themselves, and they can grow in Krishna consciousness and have a life, have a family. And so all of it is connected and is important, but
mm-hmm.
we got to be out there. We can't
yeah.
say now it's just going to be the internet or, you know, just
mm-hmm.
ship drop some books somewhere. You have to do the yajna. It's a sacrifice. And it is the Yuga Dharma, and it is what's purifying, and it's what brings us together. It's what actually forges us and brings us tighter. And that takes a little bit of heat and a little bit of beating. So, and sometimes that friction may be a little painful. You can only cut a diamond with a diamond. So.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I hope you have a long life and you keep doing books till you drop dead.
Well, your blessings and your milk, I hope. I hope at one point I will grow up.
You
and
see your life. You just said you have a long life.
Hare Krishna. Krantarachimit Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.